Savior, our Redeemer, our only hope, our joy. Amen, church. Why don't we give Him a resounding praise that He deserves? Hallelujah, Jesus Christ. We praise You and we honor You tonight. Magandang gabi po sa inyong lahat. Why don't you greet your seatmate, good evening? And tell them, praise God for you. Also ask them, did you pray for me? You still have time. Okay? You still have time because tonight is our last night of our evening prayer and fasting. So you now take your seats. You know, praise God because God has really sustained us. Praise God for all of the revelations, encounter with Him. Praise God for just this intimate communion with our loving and great God. Amen to that? Amen to that. I'm sure some of you have experienced an answered prayer. Some of you are waiting. But still, just having that communion with God, it's such a joy. It's just a memorable and just personal God that we have that we can talk to Him. Now, though tonight is our last night watch, we encourage you to continually practicing the spiritual discipline of fasting because we want to experience God even more. So we invite you every Friday, okay, commit your Friday lunch to join us at 3 o'clock and let's all pray together for the church, for the world, and for each other. But tonight, let's conclude our evening prayer time with the most cherished, with the most memorized, with the most favorite verse. It's simple and yet powerful verse. It's something that has changed my life. It's something that changed the life of my family. It has something that changed the life of many people. And I praise God that this is the verse that we will be studying tonight because after all of the exhortation from day 1 to day 5, this is the message that God wants us to hear tonight because this is the message that God wants you and I to bring to the world. And that is found in John 3:16. So, can you recite it with me? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. First thing that we can observe, God. God so loved. The God who exists, the God that we pray to, the God that we follow, the God that we obey, He loves. So if it's your first time hearing this, mahal ka ng Diyos. If you're watching this online and you're feeling lonely, God is telling you tonight, God loves you. It's nothing new and yet we have to be reminded. And you know what? The verse says, so love. The word so, okay, it doesn't talk about the amount of love as if God has an excess overflowing to each and every one of us. The so here means this is the way He loves. It's not amount of love, but this is the way He loves. He doesn't just love you so much, but He loved you in this way that He gave His only begotten Son. And that's what you will be learning tonight about how God loves the world, and He loves the world sacrificially. That's our first point. God loves the world sacrificially. It's an all-out kind of love. God did not send a bull, a ram, a goat, but He sent His most precious treasure, which is His Son, Jesus Christ. His love is profoundly costly. You know, the culture today will teach us that if we love, it should have certain condition. Like, we would only love if it's convenient. Kapag hassle, if it will take up much of our time, if it will take up much of our energy, if it will take much of our resources, then it's better not to love or maybe just a little bit of love. The culture today will tell us, as long as it's not affecting my family, as long as it's not affecting my business, it's not affecting my school, my resources, then I don't care. It's not affecting me anyway. And the world is becoming apathetic. Even the Christians. But that is not how God wants us to love the world. The people of the world specifically. God wants us to love the people of the world sacrificially by giving. Now, God's love is not only measured by the by the infinite value of what He gives. But rather, it's also measured to who He gives it to, which is to us, rebellious, unfaithful, forgetful, ungrateful, stubborn, just rebellious, unloving people. And yet, He sent His love to us. The word gave here is like basically saying, I have sent my Son to earth on a mission to die. That's what God is saying. I love you this way that I have sent my son Jesus to die in your place. Now, when I think of the word mission, it takes me back to a trip we had in South Sudan. We had a trip with South Sudan, and I was with Pastor Jim, I was with Pastor Omar, and we were in South Sudan. Maliit lang po yung aeroplano, as you can see. Parang dalawang or isa't kalahating tricycle lang po. They're only like can accommodate 6 passengers. And when we were there, our mission was not to die. Okay? Our mission was to pray, to train, to encourage, and to build or to have a partnership with disciple-making churches among the refugees. That was the goal. Okay, that was the goal. Though we had a mishap, like we had a blown out tire during landing, at ito po yung airport nila. Okay? We had a mishap that was like a little bit of commotion during that time. But we didn't intend to die. That was not our mission. And if ever, I didn't recall Pastor Jim telling me, Alvin, I want you to lay your life for the people. Parang, Pastor Jim, I didn't remember you telling that to me. But if ever I heard that at that time, I would probably say, Pastor Jim, basta sabay po tayo. Nee, joke lang po. But, okay. You know, if we would die in the field, it's never intended. It's not intentional. We can call it a job hazard. It's a job hazard. But with Jesus, He died sacrificially. It was His mission to die for our sins, to glorify the Father. That was His mission. It was not out of duty. It was out of sacrificial love for you and for me and for the whole world. And so with that encouragement, that is how God loves the world, we are encouraged tonight that when we pray, when we talk to our loving God, let's pray that we would love the people of the world sacrificially. Okay? Second point of how we can learn about how God loves the world is that He saves and does not condemn. Let's continue with the verse. That whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. He who believes in Him is not judged, not condemned. He who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The truth is, apart from Jesus Christ, we are already perishing. We are already condemned. Can you tell it to your seatmate? Mamamatay tayong lahat. Huwag niyo na pong sabihin yung gusto niyong sabihin. But mamamatay tayong lahat. We are all perishing and we are all condemned already. Perishing means doesn't mean that we're not existing. Actually, perishing here means that we will be existing or enduring the torment of hell forever, cut off from the presence of God. And if you and I are cut off from the presence of God, we will only receive condemnation, wrath, judgment, and the anger of God. And Jesus came to rescue, based on this verse, Jesus came to rescue the world that is already condemned and will surely perish. We are already condemned from the very beginning. So apart from Jesus Christ, no one can save us from our situation. Question, why is the world condemned already? Because in the next verses, this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. I highlighted the verses and it's written in such a way that it's saying that it's certain, it's indicative, it's saying it's sure that all of us love darkness, all of us hates the light, and all of us doesn't come to the light. It's totally opposite from the verse in verse 16 where Jesus said that God loves, He sends, but we're totally opposite. Basically, this verse is saying we are judged. The world is judged already because it's already it's evil, and the world will become more evil and evil. So don't be surprised. Don't be surprised when there is violence and terrorism. We're not saying we're tolerating it, but this is the reality. There will be violence and terrorism, right? Human, drug, organ trafficking, corruption in different countries, even in our country, environmental exploitation, child abuse, labor, cybercrime, right? Some of you have been posting, hindi ito, huwag ka maniwala, hindi ako naniningil ng pera, identity theft, fraud, and then genocides, deliberate killing of certain people because they believe in a certain thing. You know, last August, when I was in a meeting, a South Asian friend, a missionary friend, whom me and my wife are privileged to partner with, messaged us and is urgently asking for prayer requests because there were houses that were being burned and then churches that are being bombed. And at the end of it, there were 25 churches. And he has relatives there, and he was asking for prayers. And these were the actual pictures. This is a reality that's not shown in social media, that this is real. But I praise God that this friend of ours prayed. He prayed because he understood. This is the burnt church. He prayed because he understood that God saves and that God does not condemn the world for those who believe in His Son. And this is what the next verse is reiterating. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. What does it mean? It means that anyone who comes to Jesus, this is the main verb. Anyone who comes to Jesus practices the truth. What is the truth? The truth is that Jesus saves and does not condemn. So when a person comes to know Jesus, he's practicing the truth that Jesus really saves. And then, his deed, his works, may be manifested as having been wrought in God. It means that his works, his actions, are not judged. It's pleasing to God because Jesus is in that person. So God's love for the world, is again, number one, sacrificial. Second, is that it saves and does not condemn. Now, knowing this, that this is how God loves the world, let's be like the missionary, my missionary friend whom I've shared. Let's pray. Let's pray for the world. Let's pray for the multitude of people that many nations will come to know Jesus, that many nations will come to know the light, Jesus Christ, so that they will not be condemned. Second, is because you and I, we were part of the world. And when we pray, it actually should have an attitude of gratefulness, like super grateful talaga, sobrang thank you, Lord. Because parang similar to the song a while ago, where will I be without you, Lord? I will be in that world, that evil world. I'll be part of that condemning and hating, not experiencing this love. And so when we pray, pray for the multitude of nations. Pray with gratitude. Now, I'd like to encourage many of you. Sometimes when you come to God, you feel that you are condemned. It's like you committed a sin. And Lord, sorry. And then the enemy is trying to tempt you not to go near Him. That you have to say, sorry, 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 Lord. I have to do this, sorry, sorry, Lord. I'll make sure that this year I'll do this, I'll do this, I'll do this. You know what? God loves you while you are still a sinner. And we are still sinners. We are still sinning. And God loves us still because when we are in His Son, there is no condemnation. Amen, church? Amen. Last but not the least, God's love for the world is still available today. It's still available for all today. John 3:16 was a part of a conversation with the Pharisee Nicodemus. And he was hiding because he was afraid. And he had a Q&A with Jesus about how to be born again. So Jesus taught Nicodemus about being born again, but Nicodemus didn't understand it. So he used an Old Testament illustration. And it says in verses 14 and 15, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in Him have eternal life. I want you to understand this. From John 14 to until the end, Jesus was talking, and He was emphasizing that you only need to look at Him in faith. Believe in Jesus Christ. So when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, it was an event during Moses' time when people rebelled and there was a plague of serpents, and God told Moses after praying, okay, Moses, just make a bronze serpent, raise it up, and let the people who got beaten, who will die, who will perish, just look at the bronze of serpent, have faith of what I said, and they will be saved. You know, that rescue plan of God is simply for people to believe, to put their faith in Jesus, to surrender their lives to Jesus. And that message is still the same today. Church, this love is still available for all, for everyone today. For your friend, for your family, for your office mate, for your classmates, but also for the whole world. It's available for all today. Jesus has been lifted on the cross, and they only need to look to Jesus. Whether they are a hiding Pharisee like Nicodemus or a shouting Bartimaeus crying out to Jesus, everyone needs Jesus and they only need to look at him in faith. Whether they are in a war-torn country, in far-flung places, or in a busy, rich streets today, God wants them to hear the message that God loves them and that he wants them to be saved if they only believe on what he did on the cross. And amazingly, he makes his love known no matter the situation. Now, to encourage this and to stress this more, let's hear one simple yet amazing story on how God makes sure that his love is spread throughout the globe. Let's watch this video.
Hi, my name is Serwin De La Cruz from CCF Sydney, Australia. And for the last 8 years, I've been working as an IT professional or IT consultant. In 2019, our IT operation was outsourced to South Asia. And I was assigned to a new team with a people group that seemed to be close to the gospel. God reminded me that I need only to plant the seed, and he will be the one to cause the growth. So I began building friendships with my co-workers by learning more about their culture and even some words from their language. Over time, I was able to invite them to just take a leisurely walk when they would share their concerns and problems. I would listen intently and let them speak, then I would pray for them. One of them was my supervisor, Amir. Though he was leaving our company and had not been a Christ follower yet, God reminded me to trust his timing. Around the same time, I became good friends with another South Asian office mate named Dishan. He was very receptive whenever we would go on walks, talking about life and praying together. God gave me the courage to ask him if he wanted to study the Bible, and he immediately agreed. I learned that they serve millions of gods and believe that they must live a good life to break free from a cycle of reincarnation. I asked Bishal a question. If ever he found that Jesus was the only God who could free him from the cycle of reincarnation, would he accept him? A week after studying God's word, Bishal accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. He spoke of a change in his heart after praying to receive Christ, and now had a burden for his family and parents to know Jesus as well. This only gave me a greater burden for the people of South Asia. Soon after, I had a strange dream of being in another country. I didn't know anyone there until I saw Amir. This inspired me to check up on him and reconnect. I asked him if he wanted to study the Bible with me, and he said he was okay with it. In our first meeting, he asked, "Why me? Why are you sharing this with me?" To which I replied, "Because I love you, bro, and I want you to know this." I was even able to invite Amir's and Bishal's family in our home for dinner. And I praise God that they were blessed to see our older kids joyfully taking care of their younger kids and making time for family gatherings. Although Amir has not yet accepted Christ, we have a very good friendship. This has kept the door open for the gospel. And while most of Vishal's family is still against Christianity, his wife is slowly opening up to the idea because of the time spent with us. Please pray for Amir and Vishal as well as their families. Pray also that we may continue to show the love of Christ to them until all in their household will be saved.
Praise God. Praise God indeed for the story of Serwin, how he took that opportunity to share the gospel because he knows that the gospel is available for all people and to give them opportunities. And this is an encouragement for all of us tonight that since the gospel is available for all people, we are to go. We are to go and make disciples. We are to share Jesus. The message that has transformed our lives can also transform the lives of others. To recap of what it means to or how God loves the world. Number one, God's love for the world is sacrificial. We are to give sacrificially, whether it's our time, our treasure, or our talents. God's love for the world saves and does not condemn. And so we are to be prayerful, to pray for others, and to be grateful. And we also know that God's love for the world is still available for all today, and we are to go. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we give you praise and we give you honor. First and foremost, because of your amazing, redeeming love to all of us. The fact, Lord, that we can come before you and just talk to you, study your word, it's just out of your pure love. And we are so grateful and we praise you for that. Holy Spirit, may you move mightily during this time as we have our prayer time. Move into our hearts that we will bring this message wherever, Lord, you lead us. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.